Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's another Wednesday, and welcome to Let's Talk About It All. I'm your host, Shadi, and I'd like to thank everyone that's on the line. I know you could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate you so much. We look forward to all of you who are listening. We look forward to some of you chiming in on the topics. I know you heard the topics, but we're going to go over the topics again, just in case you might have missed one of them. All right. Today we're going to get right into it. We're going to get right into the first topic, and which is thoughts and decision-making only affect us, or do they affect our loved ones and those who are close to us? Anybody on the line who has some comments or want to add something, you know, to that, you have your thoughts or your point of view, it's welcome. As we say on most of the shows, Let's Talk About It All is a vehicle that we would like to use to reconnect us in a manner that we have for some years now have gotten disconnected, and that reconnection is crucial to us being able to grow, prosper the way many of us would like to and the way some of us already are. And with that being said, I'm going to, you know, give you my point of view on, do I think thoughts and decision-making affect people we love and those who are close to us? Yeah, I think our thoughts actually create how we react to individuals. So if we're thinking something negative about someone who is close to us or our loved one or our spouse, that energy is going to actually come up. It's going to be translated through our actions, through our voice, through our movements, which will cause arguments or uncomfortable feelings, just as the same as you have positive thoughts about the person you're close to or your loved one. It's going to create a comfortable environment. I believe that, you know, our actions as well, it's going to affect our loved ones and those who are close to us, whether we, you know, go out and, you know, we go to work every day, we make sure we pay the bills, we make sure that, you know, that our children and those who are around us see us in a positive light. We're often energetic for the most part. We're often speaking about positive elevation of us and the family members. Then that type of energy, that type of those type of actions, words are actually gonna, you know, come off with those around us. So I believe it's truly important on how we think and basically just how we carry ourselves every day. I think that we as melanin people, as black people, we are suffering more than we have to. And the reason I think that is because we have, as I said earlier, gotten away from being unified, gotten away from a strong family structure. You know, it's the family structure is the heart of having a good community, strong community, a vibrant community. We have gotten away from that. And that's due to men and women not being able to come to a proper understanding when it comes to a lot of different things, mainly relationships. The relationship doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual relationship. I think we've got it messed up. We think that the only way a man and woman can have a relationship is if it's sexual. And that's not necessarily so. Because if you are in a relationship with someone and for some reason, you know, your feelings change and it's no longer sexual. However, there's children or a child involved, you still need to develop a relationship. You still need to keep a relationship with each other. It's still crucial to the child that the two parents be able to show a united front when it comes to parenting that child. Otherwise, we have what we have now. A lot of young people running to the streets for what they're not getting at home. And we questioning why things are happening. And, you know, sometimes we're talking about the problems and we're talking about the other obstacles that are placed before us. However, the ones that we can fix, which is between the man and the woman, we don't discuss enough. And this is a platform that we would like to use to allow us to be able to discuss those issues that separate us, those issues that make us uncomfortable when we speak to each other, the issues, you know, that we will share with the same sex, but not share with the opposite sex. You know, we have to find a way to get past those obstacles that keep us apart rather than bring us closer. I would go on to say that part of infidelity comes from some of the lack of being able to communicate about certain things. I don't understand that why once you are attracted to someone, you want to hide certain parts about who you are, your character, to reel this person in, knowing that eventually those characteristics are going to show up anyway, and the person is going to actually see those. Wouldn't it be wiser to show those characteristics earlier so that the person can get a chance to make a choice based on who you truly are, not who you're representing yourself to be at that particular time? I think it's causing more hardship than joy amongst us, than unity. Again, anybody who is on the line, you're welcome to press 1 at any time to chime in to add to the conversation. Because the issues that we have, one person can't fix, nor can just women fix, nor can just men fix. The issues that we have, it's going to take men and women working together simultaneously to change our outlook about each other, the way other people see us, the way our children see us, and the way we are represented in the world. We have the capability to do whatever it is that we choose to do. We just haven't chosen to do what it is that we need to do. Me being a Muslim, there's a saying in the Quran where Allah says that if he finds a people that, I'm going to paraphrase that, if a people will not listen and obey him, then he will find another people to replace that people. And this is what's happening to us because we're not listening and we're not obeying the laws of Allah, the laws of the world. We, men and women, were put here to work together, to create family, to take care of the family. Some of us are not doing that job to the best of our ability. Some of us are, and kudos to those who are. However, as a unit, and I'm sure plenty of you heard this saying, it takes a village to raise a child, then we have to come back to that village. I reiterate this every show because of the importance of us unifying and being independent of others and more dependent on each other for the sake of growth and prosperity and peace amongst ourselves. I was speaking with a brother, the other day, and he brought something to my attention. He actually said that, somebody mentioned to him, when we go out with guns, we're carrying guns to protect ourselves from each other. And that's a sad thought, that we have to protect ourselves from each other, that we haven't figured it out that each generation should stay connected to that generation above them and below them. If you're 20, you should be able to relate to all the way up to 30 and as low as 10 years old, and so forth and so on. This is how we reconnect and bridge the generation gap. What do this have to do with our thoughts and our decisions? We have to change our thinking. We have to believe that we are capable of being better than what we are now as a people. Yes, individually, many of us are strong. Individually, many of us are doing quite well. As a unit, we are not. And that's the important thing, to rebuild the tribe, to rebuild the Black nation, to unify here, and then spread that unity all over the world. Let's get off topic for a second and look at what's going on in our country, America, with President Biden. Right now, the Congress is being wooed and solicited by the Ukrainian president to get $45 billion to support a war that we as a people, what are we going to benefit from? We're not going to benefit. I don't see a benefit for us as a whole. And mind you, I'm not against white, black, white, any other ethnic group. However, I'm just for us getting together to be an integral part, not just with the entertainment and the sports, but an integral part in all other aspects of this society, that we be scientists and lawyers, doctors, all the other aspects, judges, all those other aspects where we are minority to, except for prison and murders. We are high on the high for murders and we're high for prisons. Why is that? And what can we do to change that? It's difficult when you look at what's going on around you, where anyone who's on the line that's Democrat, I'm almost sure that you voted for Biden. And here, this is an individual that says he has to do more research in order to give out reparations. However, he's ready to give out $45 billion to Ukrainians, not counting the other money that they've already received. They just approved $1.8 billion today. So I'm saying, when are we going to make the decision to change our actions in a manner that's going to be effective for us as a whole, where we start supporting each other in a manner that will help each of us grow financially, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all of those areas? When are we going to do that? It's the time for fear is over, because fear, all it does is stop you from being the best you can be, because you're afraid of something that might happen. Doesn't necessarily mean that you when you have fear, you're afraid of something that did happen. You can be afraid of something that may happen, and then again, it may not happen. However, fear is a natural emotion, and you have to make the decision to say, look, I'm going to overcome this fear. Again, if anyone has something to say, press 1. You want to add into the conversation, press 1. If not, we're going to go to break, and we'll return shortly. No one presses. All right, we're going to go to break. Okay, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back, family. I would like to say to everyone again, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen in on the show. Let's Talk About It All. I would also like to suggest that you invite other people to listen to the show, preferably 20, 30, you know, all different, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, all different ages. The reason I'm saying this is because there's been a generation gap for some time. Even those of you who are listening, we didn't have a connection truly to our parents until later, a lot of us, and some of us never had a connection. However, if we adopt what I suggested when it comes to every 10 years, there's a different generation, and each generation has the capability to reach 10 years below their age and 10 years above their age. If we can keep that and utilize that in a manner, then we can correct the generation gap. We can correct where we fall short of not being able to communicate to the younger ones, the 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 12-year-old, those type of individuals, because we would be able to connect to the ones who can connect to them. If you're 40, you'll be able to connect to the one who is 30. And the one who is 30 will be able to connect to the one who's 20. And the one who's 20 will be able to connect to the one who's 10. And 10 will go down the line. It's truly important for us to do this. I can't stress how important it is for us to rebuild the family, especially in the times that we're living in. As I said earlier, that President Biden and the Congress are considering giving $45 billion, not million, $45 billion to Ukraine to fight a war that America has nothing to do with, nothing to do with at all. They're not giving Africa $45 billion. They're not giving Haiti $45 billion. They're not giving any countries of color $45 billion. They're not giving them $3 billion. And I'm only saying this as to stress the urgency of us unifying as a unit and being able to move as a unit to solidify our dominance. Our dominance as a people, and stop allowing ourselves to be dominated. This is important. We see it too often. We complain a lot of times about racism and discrimination and things of that nature. However, we play right into the hands of the system that we complain about. And when all we have to do is start trusting and start working together and start creating our system within this system and a system that will benefit us, then we can reach out to other people. Then we can, you know, then we can start welcoming other people. And not to say that other people are not welcome. It appears that a lot of people don't really, being honest, don't feel the need to help us. If you can't help yourself, how do you get someone to help you? And as a whole, as I said, there's some tremendous work being done with people of color, with us as a people. However, me personally, I don't think enough is being done when it comes to the grassroots part of it. I think we can do more. I think we've gotten caught up in our everyday life, our everyday struggles, and some of us have become complacent and comfortable with our lives as they are. And don't get me wrong, we have some of us who are highly paid that are comfortable, that will tell us certain things just to keep us in line, just so they can keep that money in their pocket, which in this day and time is a travesty to us, because we need people to step up similar to the way Kyrie Irving and Kanye West has stepped up. Yeah, Kanye West don't always say the right things, and he's, you know, he goes to the left, but he did have the heart to stand up against a system that we know and that he realizes that uses us for their benefit. And why can't we utilize ourselves to benefit ourselves? Why do many of us who live in inner cities or not, when we put our money in somebody's hand, those people don't look like us? Why is that? And what can we do to change that? To at least be able to put money in hands of those who look like us that we know or bleed to our hearts that is going to benefit us, that we're going to put money in families' hands that's going to help send their children to the best schools, be able to build institutions where we can see where our money is going, not just from getting, you know, nails done, hair is done, all of those things is fine. The designer clothing, the designer shoes, all of those things are fine. However, that money is making other individuals richer while we are still struggling. This is something that me personally, I believe we have to stop. And we have the power to stop. We just have to make the decision that we want to stop it. All right. With that being said, we're going to go on to the next topic. Do men and women cope with infidelity differently? Any women on the line? I would like to hear what you have to say about this. Any men on the line? I would like to hear what you have to say about this. Do men and women cope with infidelity differently? Don't be afraid. You know, this, we are family here. So there's no right answers. There's no wrong answers. There's only your answers. So press one. Come on in and join the conversation. Me personally, I think it depends on the individual, actually. There's certain individuals that will handle infidelity the same, whether they are male, men or women, male or female. They will handle infidelity the same. Some people either cry, some people curse you out, some people want to fight you, some people leave you. Some people decide to do it themselves. So it basically depends on the individual and how deep you are into that individual at the time when the infidelity occurs. That's my opinion. That's my take on it. Anyone has something differently or want to elaborate further? As I said, you're welcome to press 1. Give us your thoughts. Our goal is to have this platform where we just can actually communicate about any and everything, where it says, let's talk about it all, where we actually be able to talk about it all, where we actually be able to communicate from a baby being born to where do we really go after death. Those are all things that we want to be able to discuss. You know, now that that thought of came to my mind about where do we go after death, that's something to think about right there. That's a thought. And many of us, we say heaven, but we also know there's a hell. If we believe in heaven, then we have to believe in hell. Then we have to believe that there's a place that's worse than the place that we want to go to. And if we believe that, then we have to believe, you know, then it makes sense to believe that heaven has to be earned. Just like hell has to be earned, but in a different manner. In a manner, you know, it should be in a manner that we do good things for each other in order to get to paradise. You know, we call it heaven, we call it paradise. I noticed that most of the time when someone we love pass away, we often say that they're in heaven. I mean, that's, we want to believe that. We don't know. We want to believe that. And it may be possible. May be that. However, from the spiritual aspect, it says that we have to earn it. You know? So that's my take on that. You know, the heaven and hell's, I would like to get a little more into it. However, take a little break, and then we're going to come back with the next topic. Everything is relevant, you know, so we're going to take a break.
This is Curtis. Never forget the life we live. Yeah. And I just wanna tell you,
I'm inspired to live my life. You trust in me, I trust in you. Try to do what's right. Long as we can grow, it doesn't matter where you go. There'll always be, you see, sunset. And I got a struggle in my life. I'ma do what I do, cause I can show you any good. Now it's time to get the money and watch my future grow. And now I got to go to another level. I made my moves and paid my dues and come again. Life we live.
Welcome back, everyone, and life is beautiful. It's beautiful. We just, you know, just have to live it the best of our ability. It's beautiful. It's definitely worth living. We just have to want to live the best life that we are capable of and strive to make life better and leave the world better than the way we found it. That's how I view life. I view that we are here for a purpose, and each of us, that's our goal, to find that purpose and be able to living our purpose and do what it is that we were created to do. Add on to life, not to take away from life, to add on. And as I said, thank every one of you who are on the line. We appreciate you for taking the time out of your busy day and listening to us. We're going to go on with the next topic. The next topic is, can marriage or relationship recover after infidelity? The reason I'm focusing on infidelity is, in my belief, in my opinion, I think that is the number one action that creates a division between the man and the woman, the infidelity part. Whether the man does it or the woman does it, the infidelity part has created a major division. And it has caused many families to break up over infidelity. And the thing is, can a relationship or marriage recover? Anybody listening, welcome to chime in. If you have some experience on this, which I'm sure many of you do have some experience, it's hard to believe that if you are 30, 40, 50, 20, that you haven't experienced in a relationship where someone was unfaithful to you or you were unfaithful to someone else. As I said, press 1 if you'd like to chime in. If not, we'll go on, and I'll give you my opinion. I think that a relationship can recover. However, I'm not sure if it can completely recover if it becomes habitual. And many times when it's infidelity, it's more than just a one-time thing. Yes, caller.
Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Yes. That's a hard agenda that you're talking about, because many people, they stay together after something happened in a relationship, and they never get over it, but they just live through it, you know. And then there's some people that, you know, can't do it, so they move on. Me, at one time when I was married, I used to be a cheater. I always say that when you're a cheater, you don't have to let the person find out that you're cheating. So even though I cheated, my husband never found out until I left him. And then that's when he found out that I had someone else. Because I felt like that you don't have to hurt a person because something that you feel that you need to do. Because they didn't ask for that, and that's something personally that you felt that you needed to do. And I just feel that you shouldn't hurt people, because some of that hurt never mends, or they never could get over it. But I've been cheated on also, and I was able to always, like, move forward because, like I said, I was a cheater. So I can't be mad at it happening to me and I've done it to somebody. You know what I mean? But I always know in my heart, because I was a cheater, that it's never the person. Like, whoever you cheating on, they should never feel that it was their fault, or what did they do right or what did they do wrong, because whoever partner cheated with has nothing to do with you. It's their personal thing that they felt they wanted to do, but you, a person never does anything. You can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. So don't take that blame on yourself that it was something that you did, because if you know it, you would know that you're doing something wrong. You would know that, okay, I'm not holding up to this bar again, so maybe that's why he went there. So if you want to feel that, you feel that, but never feel guilty for somebody cheating on you. And always remember that if you cannot forgive a person, there's no need to stay with that person, because you're only going to make it bad for yourself and the other person living in a relationship that you both don't trust each other, and it'll never be where it should be, because you're never going to let go that hurt that he caused upon you, and you're going to always question yourself. Remember, we all got one life to live. Don't waste your time on something when you can move on to something better. That's what I have to say.
Absolutely. I totally agree with every aspect that you mentioned. The part of when a person decides to cheat, it's a decision that they make. And it most times doesn't have anything to do with what the other person did or didn't do. It just had to do with something that the individual who decided to cheat wanted. However, it's normally difficult, and this is, you know, kind of with, when I say do men and women take the infidelity differently, it's like most times women look at, you know, they start feeling insecure, and that insecurity, even as you said, if they leave the relationship, that insecurity has already been developed. So now when they go to the new relationship, they're going into the new relationship with that same pain, that baggage that they haven't been able to work through. And I think this is why a lot of relationships end. And because people don't give themselves enough time to work through the emotions and the baggage from their previous relationship before they get into a new relationship. I think that's what's causing that. And the infidelity, it's, as you said, it's a personal thing. And some people are able to do it in a manner where their significant other doesn't find out, I would imagine the relationship would be okay. And as long as they, you know, they have a saying, what they don't know don't hurt them, something of that aspect. However, and I would gather to say that in that aspect, women have a tendency to be better in that department than men. Somehow men get caught up for one reason or another when they decide to be unfaithful. They're known to be getting caught up more so than the women. Not to say women don't get caught up sometimes, but the men have a tendency to go overboard, you know, to stay in it too long. I don't know what it is, but men end up giving themselves away. And as you said, that pain is something that a lot of people are not able to let go, even if they do stay together. So I think that's a real important topic that we need more discussions with both men and women so that we can be able to, you know, work through that so that we can be able to men that and that women or men don't feel inadequate because someone else decided to be unfaithful.
I'm gonna tell you though, being when somebody messes with somebody on the outside of their relationship, it's different levels. Some people just go have sex with somebody and okay. But some people make it like it's a double relationship. Like the person they mess with on the outside, it's like they really with them like they with their mate or their wife. Or some of them just like it's a friendship, but, you know, with benefits. So you have to take that in consideration because one that makes a relationship like they're married to them, that is a little deeper, you know, and the person you're living with really have to search that out and feel that if this person was living with that person or being with that person like me, then it's different. Okay, if they went out and just maybe had a sexual intercourse, you know, encounter or, you know, maybe a friend or whatever, it's not really nothing you really got to really worry about. You know what I mean? They're just getting the flesh taken care of. But if a person actually really take on that person to be with them longer, then I think you should question it because I know a lot of people that are side people and the relationships are years. So you have to really, you know, like you said, like guys, they have to wonder, why would you want to be with this person on the outside for years and you with this other person that's study telling everybody, well, I've been married 40 years or I've been married 20 years. But your man or your woman has been with somebody half of your marriage.
Right. I agree. Absolutely. In that case, it's definitely different and it's definitely a whole nother level of infidelity. It's a relationship. It becomes another relationship. And then in that case, the person who's the main individual does feel like, okay, it's something to be concerned about. And then they have the right to start questioning, well, where did they go wrong? So I understand that. I definitely understand that. However, I thank you for your input. Your input is valuable as always. It is on point as always. And until next week, you know, we could do this again, and I really love speaking with you, and I really want to get more individuals involved in these conversations because in order to change what we're dealing with, we're going to have to be willing to speak about it. As long as we keep trying to sweep it under the rug, it's not going to stop. It's going to continue, and it's going to continue to have people discombobulated and families broken. Do you have anything else to say before we close out?
Well, I would like to tell everybody have a lovely Christmas and a safe one. But moving forward real quickly, as we move into 2023, we're living in a different normal. And people just really got to search out and realize that what a relationship is really about is like with our parents. It's two people coming together to make it in this thing we call life. It's not about worrying about what the other person is doing. It's just worrying about how you're going to better yourself and how you're going to better yourself as a unit. And I want to leave it like that until another time.
Absolutely. In closing, I pray that all of you who are listening, that our hearts and minds grow closer with each other and our families, that we are able to move beyond our differences and focus on learning to love and forgive and work together. Learn to work together and building a better world for us all. With that being said, I would like to thank you for taking the time out of your to spend with us these precious moments. Anything that I said that was insightful and helpful came from Allah, and anything that I said that was unclear and confusing came from me. And I ask for your forgiveness. And God bless you. Have a great night in life. Until next Wednesday, we love you.
no longer. A child is born. Mother still tears of joy as baby kept his love. But daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting cats on his knee. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, the good ain't all good. Welfare takes the pay, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The son is born, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. You got to make a change. It's a brand new day.
A brand new day.
It's a new
day.
Thank you.